Welcome to Weekend Ag Matters from the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network. Join us for an in-depth look at Iowa agriculture. Here are your hosts, Dustin Hoffman and Anna Hastert.
Well, welcome to the final Weekend Ag Matters program of 2019. I'm your host, Dustin Hoffman, alongside Anna Hastert. We got through Christmas. Was Santa Claus good to you this year?
Santa Claus was not bad to me this year. I was pretty proud of myself, honestly. I was expecting a little bit worse, but the old man did pull through this year.
The old man. I like how you do that after he's delivered your gift. So, you know, there you go. You're already on the naughty list for 2020. So, and of course, 2020, as we're looking ahead here now, New Year's week is going to be the same kind of a truncated market schedule as well with the holiday. But we're looking beyond into the first full week. Congress comes back, a little bit of business there, and we're kind of hopeful coming into the beginning of that congressional year.
Yeah, Dustin, we're hopeful to see a USMCA finalized in the new year. On January 7th, the Senate Finance Committee is expected to mark up this agreement. After it moves through the Senate Finance Committee, it will go to the Senate floor. After that, to the president's desk. And hopefully it's a done deal. Bada bing, bada boom. Moving on to China, focusing on a phase two trade deal with China in the new year.
You lost us on the technical jargon, but I get that. And so, of course, that also hinges on whether or not Speaker Pelosi sends up the articles of impeachment. All right, so as we get ready to kick things off here on Weekend Ag Matters, tell us a little bit about what you've got coming up for us here.
Yeah, so my segment this week is about digital products in the ag space and what one company is doing to ensure that their farmers are getting the most out of the digital products that they have put into their operation. So we're going to kick it over to Stephanie Lynch with the Climate Corporation.
As technological adoption increases and more farmers turn to digital tools to streamline efficiencies and maximize results, the demand for quick and fluid technical support is more necessary than ever. We hear from Stephanie Lynch, Climate's Customer Experience Manager, who speaks to the enhanced customer support the Climate Corporation offers with its digital products. Stephanie, not all of our listeners are familiar with the Climate Corporation. Can you provide us a brief description of your company?
A little bit about the Climate Corporation. We're a digital ag company that focuses on helping customers with collecting their farm data. So this could be planting, harvest, application data, and then being able to go in and aggregate and analyze that information to help them make better decisions across their farm. So a lot of our product is focused on data science. We marry up data science on different decisions that farmers have to make throughout the year and really give them better information and analytics that they may need to be able to make the best possible decisions across their farm.
Now, the Climate Corporation has been offering digital products to farmers and ranchers for a handful of years now. Let's talk about a new service you are offering to farmers, which reaches beyond the product itself.
We offer a lot of support services. So working in the customer experience manager role, I'm working very closely with our support teams. So we have a couple different ways that we have support. So we have support over the phone. They can also reach out to us via email and then also live chat. We've also recently added on-farm support. So this is executed through our climate activation specialist team. So we have roughly 150 climate activation specialists across the U.S. that are there to help basically get customers set up with a product to have a good experience for their first time of use.
And the climate activation specialist team is a new addition to the Climate Corporation. What persuaded you to bring more people onto your team? What kind of need did you see in farm country?
In the past year, we had recognized that true face-to-face hand-holding interaction with a new product, especially a new digital product, was incredibly valuable to our customers. Based through research and a lot of discussion with customers that were new to the platform, they had told us and communicated to us, we need more assistance with actually getting our product activated and set up properly for success. So really that is what spearheaded a lot of our strategy to basically launch a climate activation specialist role. the goal is with, you know, folks that might be a little bit more unfamiliar with technology or maybe not as tech savvy, to have someone to really kind of like help them walk through the process and give them, you know, really that first mile of their experience with our product. We wanted to make sure that it is a positive one. And in order to do that, a lot of times you need a little bit more face-to-face interaction with someone who can kind of walk you through some of the steps and getting everything set up properly.
What experience and or expertise do the climate activation specialists bring to the Climate Corporation?
Majority of them are all from an ag-related background. So a lot of them have either gone to a precision ag degree or have some form of agricultural experience, have worked on farms, are familiar with farming equipment as well, and understand kind of like the ins and outs of some of the precision side for especially setting up equipment to stream data. So a lot of them have that sort of expertise. They also work very closely with a climate activation manager that is out in the field. So they also do get a lot of training through their activation manager to ensure that they're proficient on, you know, how to set up the product and how to get the product prepared for a customer, you know, rather quickly and then also successfully. Also, internally with our support team, a lot of the folks on our direct support team internally in St. Louis are also from an ag background or have either an ag degree, an ASM degree, or a precision degree. So we have a lot of folks that are digitally sound in agriculture and have a precision background or kind of mindset and passion for digital tools. And really that has been a key success that we've seen whenever being able to offer a really great support and service for our customers.
How can farmers utilize these on-farm experts?
The best way for them to get in contact with a climate activation specialist is actually to give us a call or send us an email. So our phone number is 888-924-7475. You can give us a call, and then we can actually get a climate activation specialist dispatched out to the farm. This is going to be the easiest way if you're a brand new customer with FieldView and you're needing some on-farm assistance to get everything set up. This would be the easiest way to get an activation specialist out to your farm to get you set up and get you up and running for a successful 2020 season. Other ways that you can also get some assistance is through our Knowledge Center on our website. So if you're someone that kind of likes to do the self-service and get it all set up on your own, we have a lot of documents online on our website that you can utilize in order to basically get set up with our product. And then lastly, if you ever just need phone assistance, we have a large team of specialists that are able and equipped to help any customer work through any type of setup that they would need.
Switching gears a bit, let's talk about common digital issues and how farmers can prevent them.
Probably the most common digital challenge or obstacle that we ran into has really been around just getting set up and compatibility, which also has kind of like spearheaded our activation specialist role to be able to help alleviate any kind of issues that customers are having with the setup process when they become a new FieldView user. So most common is just ensuring that you've completed a compatibility check on your equipment. This can be done in a multitude of ways, really. Either online, contact us directly, and we can walk through a compatibility assessment. But ensuring that, you know, you have the right harness that might be available, an iPad, different equipment, and really just the hardware, the correct hardware that you're going to need in order to run the product is probably the number one challenge or number one obstacle that customers, especially new customers, have run into whenever they've been signing up for FieldView.
Stephanie, is there anything else you'd like to add about the Climate Corporation and the products and services it offers to United States farmers and ranchers?
You know, I've been with Climate now for just about 4 years, and to see the evolution in just digital tools and how they're being utilized across the farm has really been an amazing kind of feat just to see and just to watch and continue to grow. I'm excited to kind of see that continuous evolution, but just to kind of take a step back and look in the past, how far we've come in 4 years has been insurmountable, and it's been pretty amazing to see just how much benefit that these tools can provide to customers, and then also just the efficiencies that they're starting to drive really across farms. I'm excited for where the digital ag space is going, and I'm excited to see it continue to grow and also just to see some of the successes and the wins as we go through challenges throughout and just continuing to evolve over time. I think it's going to be a great space for all customers, and then also for anyone who's ever interested in joining a Precision Ag team. Climate has a great group here, and it's a really great team to be a part of.
That was Stephanie Lynch, Climate's Customer Experience Manager, who spoke to the enhanced customer support the Climate Corporation offers with its digital products. Stay tuned to Weekend Ag Matters for more news and information.
Data is data is data. Unless you work with FS, then your data comes with expert insight. Tapping into a wide range of technologies through MyField, your FS crop specialist evaluates trial data from your farm, along with only the most qualified aggregated data that reveals trends in your area. With MyField, your FS crop specialist delivers the insights you need to build your ROI. Learn how results from FS nitrogen trials can be applied to your farm at fsmyfield.com. FS, bringing you what's next.
Welcome back to Weekend Ag Matters. Here's your host, Dustin Hoffman.
As we get into the Christmas spirit this time of year, it's sometimes hard to do when you see more brown on the ground than you do snow, especially when you have temperatures that keep the snow from staying for any length of time. But on Monday, I got the chance to drive out to the Miller Tree Farm out by Runnels, Iowa. The snow that fell on Sunday night was still hanging on the trees and around the farm. It was there that I got to hear a story of a 65-year-old tree farm still keeping traditions alive in central Iowa.
I am out at the Miller Tree Farm, and I'm talking with Jill Brady. Thank you for taking a few minutes to talk with us today.
No problem at all.
So tell us a little bit, first of all, about the history of the Miller Tree Farm out here, out by Runnels here.
Well, my dad started planting trees 65 years ago in 1954. That's when he had his first child, so he wanted to supplement he worked for John Deere, supplement his income and have something for the whole family to work on. He's been selling trees for the last 65 years, and it's been a family affair. I have two brothers and a sister, and it's just part of our Christmas. And my dad was a very strong Christian. We lost him this year. But he was a very strong Christian, so he liked to bring the reason for the season into the Christmas tree business. He made quite a reputation. He really cared about people and helped a lot of people start some tree farms around the area, actually.
All right. So tell us about how many acres does your tree farm encompass?
Well, the tree farm is probably only about 20 acres, but he has about 40 acres in the area.
Okay. And so you said for 65 years, has it grown over that time? Have you accumulated more land to put into production for the trees? Or has it been as it's grown as you've been producing more trees?
Actually, probably producing less trees because the deer have found the fields, so they take a lot of our trees every year. And my dad was a very strong forestry person, so he likes to leave a lot of the bigger trees and let them grow. He has some that are, 60, 70 years old in the fields.
So obviously, like you said, you're talking about the forestry, it's about leaving some but being able to take some, for the health of the trees to control that population as well, correct?
Yes. He always says when people kind of, with the forestry aspect, he was always, why don't you let all the trees grow? And his answer was always, if he didn't have a few cut down as Christmas trees, he couldn't afford to keep the land. And he really loved nature and the land, and he always keeps a lot of them still growing.
And is it also not good for the trees that are left behind, these 60, 70-year-old trees, to get sometimes some of these younger ones thinned out or ones that maybe wouldn't have that chance to get to that age as well because of the population out there?
Oh, it's very hard. It's not good for the tree farm to let some of them get really big because the trees don't grow underneath the big trees very well. But that was just my dad. That was part of his reason for growing them, was to create a forest. He loved Colorado, and he used to bring different seed sources from around the United States back and try to grow them on the tree farm.
So how many different varieties would you say are out here on the farm, or at least the ones that you bring out, or is there just too many to count?
There's quite a few because he always tried unusual species, but mostly it's Fraser fir, white pine, red pine, Scotch pine, probably five, six different species.
So, Christmas tree farms seem to get a lot of attention this time of year. That's why we're out doing this today. But Christmas tree farming is a whole year-round practice to make sure these trees are taken care of. What does it take? You know, once this Christmas season winds down, what's the next thing in line for you guys to be doing?
It's a lot of work. I don't think people really realize how much work it is, and you're all right. It's a year-round thing. The first thing we'll do is go through and clean up the fields, which will cut the stumps to the ground. Of course, in the spring we plant, and then in the summer you have to trim them. There's a lot of spraying that's involved if you get different diseases in the trees.
What is some of the biggest challenges you see throughout the year, especially in the spring and summer when you're talking disease and pests out there?
Our biggest problem right now is deer. And if you walk through the field, you'll see a lot of the trees, they'll be all scraped up. And at one of the farm places, they border Yellowbank State Park. And so the deer come from the park and just love the trees.
So how long does it take for a tree to get to the size it needs to be for what you'd see as a typical Christmas tree? Now, I know you'll see all different sizes out there, but for a typical average tree, what would you say the time is?
Pretty much like a pine, that's the fastest growing trees. They like 6 to 8 years would probably get you a tree that would 6 foot tree in a house. If you're talking the firs, they grow a lot slower. It's probably 8 to 10 years to get a normal sized tree for a house.
So when your father started this, how long did it take for him to be able to start selling trees? And you know, it's been 65 years with the woods around here. Then we'll get some pictures up on the website as well. There's obviously trees around here, so there was some, I'm sure, available right away. But how long did it take to establish a farm where he was producing? Was it that 6 to 7 years?
It actually wasn't even that long because it was really interesting. He had an agreement with Iowa State University when he planted all of his fields. They used to come down with huge trucks and buy the 3 foot trees for the kids in the campus. So he started selling probably within 4 or 5 years of when he started planting.
Well, that's good. And so besides the trees, I see you have wreaths and all kinds of things out here for sale as well.
Right. We have wreaths and swags. My brother and my daughter, they do arrangements and things like that. We have stands. About anything you would need for the tree business.
So when you're making a wreath, how does that come about? Is it from trimmings from the trees, or is it just part of the trees that maybe aren't quite Christmas tree shaped or material? Is that how it goes?
Yeah, it's trees that didn't quite make the quality for a Christmas tree. So we go in the field and we cut them down, and then my brother makes wreaths. He makes them every day. We usually start a week or two before Thanksgiving making the wreaths.
So as you look at the Christmas tree industry as a whole, how do you feel about it here as we sit in 2019?
Well, in this area, the number of tree farms has been going down every year. I don't think people realize how much work it is. It's a lot of work, and you can spend years working on a tree, and then a deer can come through and break it, or it can get a disease. I don't know. They're definitely going out of style, the Christmas tree farms.
Are you still seeing that loyal customer base, though, that still wants that tree, that wants that natural tree in the house?
Oh, yes. We had a lot of people last weekend that had been here over 45 years coming. And that's one thing Dad was really proud of, because he had actually grandchildren of the original people that had families of their own that were coming out. And he valued that trait a lot, that it was repeat customers. And they all knew Dad because he had red hair. So it's a family. I mean, we're all a family, even though there are other people helping us in the season. It's still just a big family.
It's a family farm, a family production operation, producing for all these families that are coming all year round.
Right.
So if people, is it strictly trees that have been pre-cut, or do people have the option of cutting their own? How does that work?
We have both here at the farm. We have this small field, and we have a bigger field down the road, where you can choose and cut your own. A lot of people want to do that. The fields aren't really just keeping up with that. So we do have other fields that we cut from here to the house. My brother has a big farm in Norwalk, and so we do cut some and bring here to the house. So it's about half and half on how many cut their own.
You see the younger generation still embracing that, wanting to go out and cut their own tree, or seeing some people trying to reestablish some of those older traditions?
Oh, yes, definitely. I mean, I wish we had a big enough field that everybody could go cut their own, because that's obviously the ultimate. We have a lot of people that come when they first have new families, and then we don't see them for a few years, and then they're back again with their grandkids. So it's definitely a tradition.
All right. If people want more information on Miller's Tree Farm out here and want to find out about you, how do they find out about you?
The phone number is 515-710-5691, and the website MillerTreeFarm.com.
Well, Jill, I thank you very much for taking the time to visit with us and tell the story about your family farm.
Thank you.
That again was Jill Brady with the Miller Tree Farm out by Runnels, Iowa. We'll be back on Weekend Ag Matters right after the break.
Sometimes you need the advice of a professional. For your health, you see a doctor. For your livestock's health, you see a vet. And for your crop's health, you should see your certified crop advisor. Every CCA is held to the highest standards of knowledge, experience, ethics, and continuing education. These rigorous standards are your assurance that you have access to the advice you need to make the best possible decisions. Your CCA is a certified professional. Reason number 8 of 10 reasons you should go to certifiedcropadvisor.org to find a CCA near you.
Welcome back to Weekend Ag Matters, and now, here's Ken Root.
I have recently found that several people in my life, both friends and family, are having difficulty letting go of lifelong responsibilities, even though their physical and emotional health is being debilitated by their actions. None of them think that this has happened to anyone before, and they're struggling to pass responsibility on to others. I had a recent exchange with a friend who farms and has run a business for many years. He loves both, but recent feedback from the business has been negative, and working outside is challenging his physical health. In reality, he retired from the business and has a son who farms with him who can do all the field work very well. He wrote to me, "My body is on the last lap." I responded, "You have run many laps, old friend. Maybe it's time to cheer on others. God is pleased with your work. Maybe you should quietly agree with him." He replied, "I'm not sure how pleased God is, but I can say without reservation that I tried." It is ironic that young people with 16 years of schooling don't want to start a career, and those with 40 years of experience don't want to quit. Many of us love to work. We feel validated by getting up every morning with an agenda. Our habits are ingrained and they got us through the tough times, but a mind that won't turn off at bedtime or a body that won't turn on at dawn are equally debilitating to our well-being. If you look back at our ancestors, they faced all the same maladies, but without modern medical care. Imagine their thoughts when their bodies began to break down and there was nothing they could do but just endure the pain. We now take all kinds of medication and have heart surgery or joint replacement that brings quality of life roaring back. From the emotional aspect, an aging pioneer surely thought the world was going to hell just like we do. They yearned for the days of being young and felt new technology would weaken their children and grandchildren. Society did change. Most of their children left the farm and moved to better housing and higher paying jobs. As far as I can tell, we're still doing pretty well. Let's review the middle-class rural America master plan. We want our children to have a better life. Well, that includes better education, straighter teeth, and safer vehicles. We've succeeded in spades. Our kids live all over the world and have complex and colorful lives. Their careers are diverse and their lifestyles and relationships are often disappointing. So what can we do about that? Absolutely nothing. That brings me back to letting go. When you love someone for who they are, rather than who you want them to be, you both feel better. It is hard, but it's called unconditional love. Look at the millennials and watch their politics. They love socialism. Bernie Sanders probably won't win the Democratic nomination, but the demographics of this rising group in society indicate another candidate with his views will do so in the not-too-distant future. Again, what are we going to be able to do about it? Absolutely nothing. I'm facing my own mortality, just like everyone else who crosses the magic number for Social Security. Now I get a check from the government. I like it. My 53 years of paying in is now paying off. Why should I be unhappy? I see some young people who have enjoyed the fruits of my labor and don't have a work ethic. They want more from the government than they're willing to pay in. I smile sadly and think they won't have a check coming when they are my age, and the upheaval in the political system that they will endure will be immense. So why are seniors unhappy with our status in life? We have been in charge for 40 years with a checkered social and economic track record. We shouldn't be proud of the way we acted in the 60s and 70s, what diseases we propagated in the 80s, and who we fought to maintain our oil addiction. We now have enough wealth, personally and from the government, to live at a much higher socioeconomic status than when we were young. We have giant flat-screen TVs that bring us the world with a liberal or conservative slant, and we can get drugs that treat everything. What's not to love about that? Finally, there are young people who are willing to work as hard as we did. I see them every day. They are determined to succeed and make a better life for their children. Let's cheer for them. There comes a point in life when you have to realize you aren't playing or coaching. Your only choices are to cheer or boo. I think life can be pretty good as a spectator sport. I'm Ken Root on the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network.
Thank you, Ken, and that's all for this edition of Weekend Ag Matters. We thank you for tuning in with us here on the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network. You can find replays of this show as well as all of our other content online at iowaagnet.com. Don't forget to find us on Twitter and Facebook at Iowa Ag Radio. On behalf of myself, Anna Hastert, and Ken Root, we thank you for joining us, and we'll see you again next week on Weekend Ag Matters.